जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कपि जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कपि जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना चिरावन चारी जामुना चिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कपि जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना चिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कपि जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कपि जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vajrakacharya Ashtotra Sattva Sri Sri Maharaj's Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Iskan Founder Acharya's Divine Grace Sri Prabhupada Ki Gaur Paimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Te Namani Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Vachanani Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschachi Desite Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 56, the Shamantaka Jewel. And today's our 13 through 22. So let's put 22 up there. Yeah, but can we put 22 up there? Yeah. We'll chant 22 together. And I'll go back and read the other verses. So the word meaning Sahi, Vai, indeed, Bhagavata, with the Lord, Tena, with him, Yude, fought, Swamina, master, Atmana, his own, Purusham, a person, Prakritam, mundane, Matva, thinking him, Kupita, angry, Na, not, Anubhava, of his position, Vit, aware. Savai Bhagavata Tena. Yude Swaminatmana. Purusham Prakritam Matva. Kupito Nanubhavita. Savai Bhagavata Tena. Yude Swaminatmana. Purusham Prakritam Vatva. Kupito Nanubhavavit. Savai Bhagavata Tena. Yude Swaminatmana. Purusham Prakritam Matva. Kupito Nanubhavavit. So I'm going to read the translations from 13 to 22. It's a narration of the story of the Shamantaka jewel. It takes various twists and turns and comes to the verse today, which we'll speak about because there's a short purport there. Once, Shatrajit's brother, Vrishena, text 13, once Satyajit's brother, Prashena, having hung the brilliant jewel around his neck, mounted a horse and went hunting in the forest. Report: the inauspicious result of Satyajit's refusal of Lord Krishna's request is about to manifest. Text 14, the lion killed Pashena and his horse and took the jewel. But when the lion entered a mountain cave, he was killed by Jambavan, who wanted the jewel. Within the cave, Jambavan let his young son have the Shamantaka jewel as a toy to play with. Meanwhile, Satrajit, not seeing his brother return, became deeply troubled. He said, Krishna probably killed my brother, who went to the forest wearing the jewel on his neck. The general populace heard this accusation and began whispering it to one another and to whispering it in one another's ears. When Lord Krishna heard this rumor, he wanted to remove the stain on his reputation. So he took some of Dwarka's citizens with him and set out to retrace Prasena's path. In the forest, they found Prasena and his horse, both killed by the lion. Further on, they found the lion dead on a mountainside, slain by Riksha, Jambavan. The Lord stationed his subjects outside the terrifying pitch-dark cave of the King of the Bears, and then he entered alone. There Lord Krishna saw the most precious of jewels having been made into a child's plaything. Determined to take it away, he approached the child. The child's nurse cried out in fear upon seeing that extraordinary person standing before them. Jambavan, the strongest of the strong, heard her cries and angrily ran toward the Lord. Today's verse, unaware of his true position and thinking him an ordinary man, Jambavan angrily began fighting with the Supreme Lord, his master. Purport. The words Purusham Prakritam Matva, thinking him a mundane person, are very significant. So-called Vedic scholars, including most Western ones, enjoy translating the word Purusham as man, even when the word refers to Lord Krishna, and thus their unauthorized translations of Vedic literatures are tainted by their materialistic conceptions of the Godhead. However, here it is clearly stated that it was because Jambavan misunderstood the Lord's position that he considered him Prakrita Purusha, a mundane person. In other words, the Lord is actually Purushottama, the ultimate transcendental person. Uma Gyana Tamarandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshirin Militam Yena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha. Dear devotees, I want to ask all of you, each and every one of you, a very confidential question this morning concerning the subject matters that are discussed in this purport, the short purport. And that is that, have any of you seen Krishna, but not recognized him? Or are you sure that you will recognize Krishna when you do see him? Jambavan, who is described here as a great devotee of the Lord, he didn't recognize Krishna when he saw him. So how sure are we that we'll recognize Krishna when we have the fortune of him coming before us. Or as I say, maybe he's already come before us in different ways and we didn't recognize him. There are two reasons, at least two, probably more, at least two reasons, though, why we may not recognize Krishna when he comes before us. One is yoga maya, and the other is mahamaya. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has given some comment on these verses, particularly the last two, where the nurse sees Krishna and she screams. And then Jambavan sees Krishna and he goes to fight him. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given some comment on those two verses. And it's clear from his commentary that yoga maya is the reason that neither of those two persons recognized Krishna when he appeared before them. I'll just read the short purports. So the translation to text 21 is, the child's nurse cried out in fear upon seeing that extraordinary person standing before them. Jambavan, strongest of the strong, heard her cries and angrily ran toward the Lord. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The nurse cried in fear. Implies that she did not even see Krishna's intention to take away the jewel. In actuality, however, she was not afraid, since ecstasy arose in her as the natural effect of seeing Krishna. So she cried out of ecstasy when she saw Krishna. That was not fear. She wasn't afraid, she was in ecstasy. And that's described here as a natural effect of seeing Krishna. So, yoga maya. Now, Jambavan, it describes here that he was angry, and he came in angrily, immediately. He heard the cries of the nurse, and he was angry, and he came and he immediately started fighting with Krishna. Why was he so angry? I mean, he's obviously just killed a lion. He's very powerful. Prabhupada says in this section of the Krishna book that Jambavan's the king of the forest, not the lion. And he's proved because he was able to kill the lion. So obviously he has full of prowess. Why is he angry? He doesn't have to be afraid. Why is he angry? Well, he's angry because, as Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in his comments on text number 22, that the anger was to serve the purpose of the Lord. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna never experienced the satisfaction of a good fight with such weaklings as Chanura, Kamsa, and Jarasandha. Therefore, the Lord desired to fight with one of his own servants, having similar strength with himself, and thus achieve the happiness of battle. Krishna also wanted to please his devotee Jambavan, who had not attained a full taste of virarasa, heroism, even by fighting with the armies of Ravana. To fulfill his and Jambavan's desire, Krishna ordered Yogamaya to use his Lila Shakti to cover his sweet aspect from Jambavan. Thus Jambavan thought of Krishna as an ordinary man. So because the Lord had some purpose, he wanted to enjoy fighting. He wasn't satisfied with the weaklings that he very easily killed. He wanted to, he had to have his own man, Jambavan, fight him in this regard. And so, as will be described, they fight for 28 days to get this vira rasa, heroism, his desire to the happiness of battle. So that's because of that, those reasons, which are yogamaya, Jambavan didn't recognize Krishna. I think it's important to know that and to hear from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in this way, because we might think that, well, Jambavan didn't recognize Krishna, or he considered him an ordinary man, because of Mahamaya or illusion, particularly because it's described that he was angry. Of all the bewildering influences found in this material world, anger is one that even a materialist can understand blinds one's vision. Blinded by anger, people do so many things. Even in a legal situation, you may be charged with first-degree murder or second-degree murder based on whether there was a time for you to cool off from anger, because when anger is there, you're not thinking rationally, and you may do something, and you may be more culpable or less culpable depending on whether you had some time to cool off from that anger. So if we read this and we hear how Jambavan was angrily, he immediately came. He didn't talk, what's going on here, nothing. He just immediately came and started fighting with Krishna. He was so angry. So we might think, well, that's Mahamaya. He's an illusion, and therefore anger has bewildered him, and therefore he's fighting. He's thinking Krishna, ordinary man, and fighting with him. But that's not the case. Now, for us, however, we may not recognize Krishna when he appears before us because of Mahamaya, because we are being prevented from seeing Krishna or perceiving Krishna based on many different things, on many different things. In Queen Kunti's prayers that are way back in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, she describes in more than one instance in her prayers why Krishna and his activities bewilder us. In other words, why we're affected by Mahamaya and we can't perceive Krishna. She says in text number 19 of the eighth chapter of the first canto, Maya Janavi Chach Janam Ava Agna Hoksa Jamavyam Malaksha Se Mudhadrisha Nato Natya Dro Yata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada gives several reasons why and how Mahamaya affects us, and as a result, as Kunti Devi is praying here, we can't perceive him, even if he directly appears before us. He remains invisible, and we're called foolish observers because we're bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency. So the first reason Prabhupada gives in the purport why we can't see is because of a poor fund of knowledge. Those of you that attended Prabhupada Swami's discussion the other evening recall that he was saying that this poor fund of knowledge is one of the three things that keep us from vibrant Krishna consciousness, a poor fund of knowledge. We just don't know what is God, what his powers are, who we are in relation to God, how our purpose is to serve him. We just don't have knowledge. We haven't been exposed to the knowledge enough. Therefore, we have study of Shastra. Study of Shastra is necessary if we're going to be able to recognize Krishna. Because in the Shastra, we get all kinds of detailed information. What he looks like, what he does, how he's not influenced by the modes of material nature. All these things, the subject matter of knowledge, is what, from the first canto in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Queen Kunti is saying this, to the 10th canto, 56th chapter that we're reading today, in between is all the knowledge we need to know so that we can't be affected by a poor fund of knowledge. We have some idea. Who is God? Actually, this is a purpose of our distributing literatures, as Mother Mukti was reading today. They'll be benefited. It's such a nice thing. Even just a little information they get about God, who is God, from Prabhupada's books, can cure this problem, which makes us miss the most fortunate opportunity that we have. If Krishna comes before us, so that we don't miss that opportunity. So the first reason is a poor fund of knowledge. We have to cultivate knowledge. And then Prabhupada says something interesting here, and I'm going to read this sentence from the purport. He says, "And yet there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge," and this is the part, "and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present." So we miss Krishna when he appears before us because of our stubborn obstinacy not to surrender to Krishna. Despite so many things that are beyond our control and so many miseries that we have to suffer, things that are beyond our control, we still remain stubbornly obstinate to the law of the Supreme Lord. And somehow or another think that we can avoid surrender to him. It's just like an ass-like mentality, stubborn obstinacy. You think of an ass, don't you? You know, trying to pull the ass, and the ass is resisting. For what? I mean, you're not pulling the ass to, you know, put him in a bad situation. You're trying to help him, but he's obstinate. No, I won't be helped. I won't be helped. This type of attitude is characteristic of demonic persons, and as a result of misdeeds, past and present. Misdeeds, past and present. So that's why we can't see God if he comes before us. People always challenge, you know, can you show me God? Well, even if he came before you, you wouldn't even recognize him. I think that all of us here, to the degree that we're still affected by these two things, lack of knowledge, poor fund of knowledge, and stubborn obstinacy, we may not have seen Krishna's hand in our lives in ways. We might say, well, who am I to say God, Krishna appeared before me, therefore I didn't recognize him. But he certainly has appeared before all of us. All of us sitting here today, he certainly appeared before us by his representative, by some happenstance in our life that was personally orchestrated by him. So his presence has been there in each and every one of our lives, but have we recognized it? Have we recognized it, or did we miss it? Think about that. therefore I ask you confidentially, think about that. Have we missed Krishna in our lives as he's appeared to us? And if we have, we can look to these things, poor fund of knowledge, stubborn and obstinacy. And the last one is dependence upon our imperfect senses to be able to see God. Our senses are imperfect. We can't perceive them. At Hokshaja, he's beyond the range of our sense perception, Kunti Devi is saying. And so we tend to miss him because we depend on our imperfect senses. Imperfect senses rather than our faith, for instance. If we have faith in Krishna, then we'll see him. But if we have faith in our imperfect senses, that they'll guide us correctly, they'll give us the solution, they'll tell us what's actually going on, then we may miss him. In this purport, Prabhupada also tells how we can know. These are three things, how we can't know. Poor fund of knowledge, stubborn obstinacy, and imperfect senses. But how can we know? We can know by hearing from authorities. Submissive oral reception. That's how we can know. And it's not a secret, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you want to know me, then just approach some learned person, someone who does know me, and hear from them, then you'll be able to know. Kunti Devi continues this in her prayer. That was text 19. In text 30, she returns to this subject matter. And she says, of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend among animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. If we think of the story we just read here about the Shyamantaka jewel, this tendency we have to think of Krishna as an ordinary person almost seems like it's being encouraged. I mean, there's a story about Dwarka, Krishna's city. Krishna created Dwarka. He populated Dwarka. Yet in Dwarka, there's some rumor going on. People are like whispering kinds of these things. I mean, it almost makes you think, well, what's going on here? I mean, why wouldn't we think Krishna's an ordinary man? And there's people are rumoring, gossiping in Dwarka. And Krishna, he feels he has to do something about it, about his reputation. Krishna says in these verses we read that, well, my reputation is being tainted. Therefore, I have to do something about it. An ordinary person has to do something about their reputation being tainted. Does Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have to do something about his reputation being tainted by foolish people? What's going on here? It's bewildering. Even Krishna's simple, ordinary activities are not ordinary. And we shouldn't think of them as such. So when we read this, we shouldn't think, oh, there's some gossiping, rumor-mongering. Krishna has to do something to correct that. As if we were in that position. No. Even Krishna's ordinary activities are inconceivable. But they are known. They are known, and they're known to his intimate devotees. Prabhupada says in the purport, is text number 30 of the 8th chapter of the first canto, therefore no one can calculate him exactly. Every action of the Lord is bewildering to the common man. He cannot be understood by the Vedic knowledge, but he can be easily understood by the pure devotees because they are intimately related with him. The devotees therefore know that although he appears amongst the animals, He is not an animal, nor a man, nor a rishi, nor a fish. He is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. So he's the Supreme Lord. He's not not ever ordinary. And interaction with him, receiving his mercy, is never an ordinary situation in our life. So we can easily know him by cultivating that type of a loving relationship with him. Hearing from great authorities, and then serving him, and then developing our intimate relationship with him. And if we do that, then we won't miss the opportunity to see Krishna when he appears before us. I was just listening to one of our god brothers recently, and he was making the point that even Krishna, he's here. Radha Shyam Sundar is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's right here. But how much are we missing of that due to these things? Or fund of knowledge, or stubborn obstinacy, imperfect senses, not loving him. Those that love him, they can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead is right here. Our perception, my perception, Krishna in his deity form is here, and that's something different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But it's not. And so there's a lot that we may be missing in life. And I'm not talking about material life, missing those things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But we're missing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there's hope for us if we absorb ourselves in teachings in Srila Prabhupada's books, the association devotees, then when Krishna appears before us, we'll be able to appreciate, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fully Swayam Bhagavan, and we'll be able to show him to others. So these are some thoughts on the verse. Is there any comment or questions? Am I trying to...
Well, we may think that we are seeing Krishna when we look at the deities, but how do we know we're actually seeing Krishna, please?
How do you know that you're actually seeing Krishna? Because when we see Krishna, we experience Krishna. Our heart melts. There are many descriptions there in the scriptures that describe what it's like when one sees Krishna. Even Dhruva Maharaj, when he had darshan, Krishna, we can read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how he felt at that point in time when Narada Muni in his previous birth saw Krishna. Krishna appeared before him. There's descriptions there. And so by authoritative descriptions, that's how we can understand that we're actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes.
There's one lecture Srila Prabhupada stresses on the point that one should see Krishna not the way he wants to see Krishna, but one should see Krishna the way Krishna wants you to see him. Mm. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I mean, there's no question of not seeing Krishna. We're seeing Krishna at every moment. Rasoham apsukunteya prabhasma shashi shuriya. He's a taste of water. He's the light of the sun and the moon. So we're seeing Krishna at every moment, but we just, because of the reasons you mentioned in your class, we can't recognize. But otherwise, Krishna is always there.
Mm.
We have to see Krishna the way he wants us to see him. You can't even see an ordinary big person, Srila Prabhupada continued in the lecture. Can't even see President the way you want to see him.
Hmm. You can take it away.
Is Krishna's hand in things, is that the same thing as seeing Krishna?
Yeah. Just Prabhupada gives the example of like when a mother sees the shoes of the child. She has all the feelings and emotions just by seeing the shoes of the child, not the child, him or herself. So, when we see Krishna's hand in our lives, just that is not different than seeing Krishna. Of course, we can also see Krishna fully too. So we can see his hand in our lives and we can understand that's fully Krishna. But then there's also darshana, Krishna's form, his beauty. That's also there. So.
There's a verse that comes to mind, 11.2.42, Bhakti, yeah, that one. It says that three things happen simultaneously.
Hmm.
It says when one performs devotion, he gets direct experience of Krishna, and he develops detachment from everything else that's not Krishna. So that's one. And I was thinking if we could think of how many different ways we are experiencing Krishna at every time, like how many, with the deity, that's, how about the pages of the Bhagavatam, Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar, the chanting Hare Krishna, how many ways we're always dealing with Krishna right now. And the question I had was the nurse, when she saw Krishna, she went into ecstasy. So did she recognize Krishna was just his presence that did it? Or?
It says that the nurse cried in fear, implies that she did not even see Krishna's intention to take away the jewel. In actuality, however, she was not afraid, since ecstasy arose in her as the natural effect of seeing Krishna.
Does that mean that she recognized him or didn't recognize him? It's not clear to me.
She didn't see Krishna's intention to take away the jewel. Since ecstasy arose in her as a natural effect of seeing Krishna, so Krishna Chakravarti Thakur is saying that her crying out was an ecstatic symptom, which has to be the result of seeing Krishna.
But yet other people see Krishna and they don't get that effect.
Well, there are different all varieties of ecstasy that people have in relation to Krishna. And so
when he walked
you in, may not cry out like she did. You may just swoon in ecstasy.
When he walked into the arena at Kamsa's arena, I think there was 10 different visions.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's unlimited different ways. Anything else anyone has?
Another angle on the discussion is in this point that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati, as I understand it, often strongly made, that actually Krishna is seeing us. But we're not seeing Krishna. So when we're standing in front of the deity, the relevant phenomena is that Krishna is seeing us.
Mm.
And I find it quite a revolutionary notion, that, because we may still be in the concept that I am the enjoyer and the controller and the seer, when really we need to have a complete turnabout and start trying to become eligible to be seen by Krishna.
Mm. That's good. Thank you. Okay, we'll end there. Gantarat Srimad Bhagavatam.